what is going on out there, everybody, and thanks so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, I can't do this alone. I got this fellow over here that's this coffee junkie sitting next to me, Mr. Kyle Filio Ned Flanders.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in studio. Almost got blown away trying to get here.
Is it, man? It's like 30 mile an hour winds and has been for the last like 4 hours. And then just gusts. I've seen small dogs and the elderly blow by and I've had to run out and try to gather them all up.
Right. Well, it's been spring break here. So the kids are out of school and Jacob's been begging me to take him disc golfing.
Good luck.
All week. But it's been so windy. Look, I'm already lousy. I don't need the wind helping me out.
No.
You've seen my 2000 foot thrower I threw.
That was a great
in
day.
Stephenville.
So here's what you do, right? Go ask him which disc that he would normally drive with today, right? Like if you were going to play in a really good, how would you take that disc, throw it in the trash?
Yeah.
Well, because that way you're going to lose it. You might as well just lose it. Now you don't even have to leave the house. You can just sit around there.
Yeah. He's actually pulling post out of the ground for the neighbor.
Ah, that's good for him.
Him and Caleb. They've been at it for the last 2 days.
Oh, good on them.
Yeah.
Well, good
on them. Earning a little money.
That's right.
Yeah.
Earning a little scratch. Other than that, man, hard work, clean living.
Yep. That's all I've been doing.
That's what I thought.
I lie. I took off early and I tried to take Little Fizzy to see the new Batman movie.
Oh, here we go.
Because, you know, it's spring break and he loves the movies. He gets that from me. I love the movies. He was like, will you take me? Sure. It's the Batman,
right? Any excuse to go to the movies.
I've never seen a trailer for it. I don't know who's in it. It's Batman, right? How many times have I seen Batman? Maybe 10? With all of them, with Val Kilmer to Michael Keaton to Ben Affleck to God knows who else has already played Batman. So I think it's one of those. Perfect.
Adam West is the best.
Yeah. So we get in there. Dude, it is not a movie for children. It is not. It's more like watching an episode of True Detective. It's pretty serious. It's pretty dark. And about an hour in, I could tell when Luke's into a movie. You've been.
Yeah.
You can tell when he's into it and when he ain't. Because normally he's jumping up and down. Did you see that? Did you see? He doesn't look. He's like totally tuned out. So I'm like, hey, bub.
He's just looking at the floor, counting pieces of popcorn.
And I didn't know it was as long as it was. So I looked up. Turns out it's like a 3 hour long movie. So about an hour in, I'm like, hey, man, do you like this movie? And he looked at me and he's like, no, not really. I go, do you want to just bounce? He's like, can we just go to the arcade? I'm like, yeah. So we went and did that. And then we went and did some running around. So
I know all of y'all listening are totally surprised at the amount of research he does for the show and how little research he does in his life, right?
He just shows up. Got so much time. So if you have little ones, the new Batman movie might not be for them. There is cursing in it. That doesn't bother me. Luke hears plenty of cursing at our house. We got two 14-year-old boys in the house as well. And, you know, it's cool to curse when you're 14. But no, man, it was a really dark and very serious approach to the story of Batman. So maybe it turns out really good. I'm not knocking it. I didn't finish it, but Little Fizzy didn't enjoy it. So
that's a thumbs down from Little Fizzy.
Yeah. We went and did something else. We went running around. Look, if I'm going to take
it, he said he wished he had four hands.
Yeah. Well, he didn't like it. Let's just say that. I don't think he said he hated it, but he didn't like it, but he's excited. Cause we saw on the trailers, we saw the new Morbius is coming out. Yep. There's a new Sonic the Hedgehog coming out.
And Moon Knight comes to Disney Plus.
What's that?
You'll see.
I don't know what that is. Is that one where there's like the moon's hollow and it's like causing some kind of catastrophe on Earth or something comes out of the moon?
I don't know what you're talking about there.
Maybe I'm thinking of something. There was just a movie that was in the theater like a month ago.
Oh, that's apparently the worst movie ever made.
Is it? But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's called Moon something.
I think it's just called Moon.
Oh, is that not what this
our
is
moon, on Disney? I don't know. People right now are screaming.
Well, because I know that when it was about to come out, there was a lot of people that were writing the show wanting us to do an episode on mysteries about the moon and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, we've kind of already done that. But
I think the mystery was that how did that thing get put into theaters is what I think the mystery was. Because from the last, I can't remember the name of the doggone movie, something Moon, let's just say. But it lost like a whole pile of
money. So what is Moon Knight then?
He's a superhero, man.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll show you the trailer.
All right. Well,
I'll show you the trailer.
Let's get into some news. Yeah, you remember on the last episode, I did the story where the woman in Texas thought she saw a black trash bag transform into a duende?
Yes.
Well, apparently, she ain't the only one. Check this out. It says, hey, guys, regarding y'all's last podcast, you had a story that was eerily similar to one I and my dad experienced when I was younger. We've always loved the supernatural and listened to podcasts together and read books about it. So one day when I was being dropped off at my mom's house, we decided we were going to drive down Bragg Road in Saratoga just for fun. Now, I'm sure since y'all are from Texas, you know about the lights on Bragg Road. Mm-hmm. And we weren't expecting to see them. But why not go down there, down the road, and if it's on the way there, why not? Well, as we were driving, we rolled the windows down. Of course, it's the big thicket, so there's not really any breeze flowing through on ground level. But up ahead of us, we see what looks like a black trash bag blowing across the road about 100 meters in front of us. Now, my dad says he only saw a trash bag shape, but 10-year-old me was positive I saw it morph into a sleek black dog. The only way I could describe the dog was that it looked like one of the pack creatures from the movie Avatar, but still shiny and black like a trash bag. We were both creeped out a little, but we kept driving towards where it crossed. When we got there, a really foul smell, like something had been dead for a long time, came out of nowhere, and we heard the rustling on the side of the road that the thing had disappeared into. Now, my dad got out of the car with his gun to go check it out, and he didn't find anything. Only the dead animal smell was left. Anyways, I know it's not that detailed or crazy, but I tell you, when I heard that woman say that she saw what looked like a black trash bag turn into a cat and then morph into a little man, my jaw dropped. Thanks for y'all's show. It keeps me occupied when I want a touch of the paranormal. Thank you, Sophia. So we thought that was a one-off, but perhaps we talked about perhaps more people are seeing what you just consider trash or something, and it's not. It's camouflaging itself. I don't know. What's the chances of hearing two people in the same state, mind you, kind of in the same area? I mean, the big thicket is north of Houston. That woman, I believe, is just north of Houston.
Well, here's what's really weird. When you first told the first one, right, when it morphed, I was thinking this. I didn't say anything.
Okay.
And now that you said that again, it's got me to thinking what my daughter and I saw in the sky above flames that night.
That's right. Right.
As I told you, man, story, it was somebody, not so. Yeah. So we were at a restaurant here in Weatherford watching some live music and sitting outside. My daughter and I were, it's a bunch of us together, but we were sitting there and there was a flagpole, you know, with the light shining on the flag and all this. And my daughter goes, "What is that above us?" And it was moving against the wind, heading, I believe, south, going north. And it looked like I'd mentioned like a lightweight shelter. So what I mean by that is like the tarp system you use over a hammock, or if you're camping, a real lightweight sil poly is what it's made out of. So like parachute material for, you know, otherwise. But it looked OD green, but it could have been black or some shade because y'all know I'm colorblind. And of course, it was, you know, at night with the lights shining up, I could still see it. And it wasn't that, you know, wasn't like it was way above, and it wasn't like it was trash. It was a large piece. Like it looked like it was
hovering.
You know, it looked like it was hovering. It looked like it was, you know, 10 or 12 foot, you know, like a ball up there moving. And I can never get the movement out of my head that when you see it, is it's just like the trash bags. You know, it points as a bag or plastic especially, but you can also see it in other materials. It does look like it's alive the way it moves certain times. That's the way this looked going against the wind. And I remember distinctly the wind hitting me from one direction, watching it go against the wind, going in the other direction. After telling that story, remember we'd had the woman had written in about her and her family had seen it, her son or whatever, anyway. And all that. So maybe there's a lot more to this morphing trash bag, because it's something you wouldn't think about.
Right.
And that's, it's only in modern times. Now, much like we've talked about the Fae with the black-eyed kids, why wouldn't you hide in a trash bag? I mean, literally, if you could turn into a trash bag, it's as good as being invisible.
Yeah, people don't care about trash.
No, not at all.
No.
How crazy is that?
It's crazy.
That is, man.
Thanks to both women for sending that in. Awesome.
That is, there's got to be more. Anybody else had any crazy trash bag sightings? The crazy trash bag man? Yeah. That's what we're looking for next. Right. Look, I got to read this to you. I found this. We're always laughing about, I'm saying I'm built like a bridge troll.
Mm-hmm.
This popped up this week at Lawn. Some of y'all sent this to me. I'm going to go a dog about it. It says river troll humanoid observed and photographed in coastal Mississippi. Get a load of this. It says about 6 years ago, 2015, my family lived on our houseboat on the river in a small town in coastal Mississippi. We were on the deck one evening looking across the river. The tide was low and you could see well into the woods. Maybe 25 yards from us, something bent down near the water drinking. And I went and retrieved my binoculars to get a closer look. It was pinkish tan with bulging eyes. It had funny looking ears, two arms, two legs, and what appeared to be horns coming out of its head. It had a short, round body drinking from the shore. And from what I saw, I would swear it was like a troll. It was devil ugly. I took my phone out and took a picture, and to this day, anyone I show it to swears it's a river troll. Now, living on a houseboat, you see a lot of creepy stuff in the swamp. Also, there would always be trees or logs lying across the ditches of our 1,000-foot driveway in the middle of the swamp, as if something put them there to cross the deep parts. You couldn't walk up or down without that eerie feeling of being watched. And it wasn't just me. Anyone who came out our way and walked around up and down the driveway always felt unnerved. And you would also hear what sounded like monkeys. Well, one time something threw a rock and hit a friend. I still own that property and those houseboats, but none of my grown children will even go out there anymore. I don't show the picture to other people anymore. I don't have to prove anything, but I'm sharing it with you. I feel as if maybe I'm the lucky one to have been in contact with several of these creatures in this world, and some twice. Yes, blurry, and yeah, it's hard to make out, but you can clearly see its reflections in the water as it's drinking. And so if you want, folks, you can go to Phantoms and Monsters. You can check out this river troll. Kyle will have links to it too. And the pictures are posted on there. Now, what's odd about this whole thing when you look at these pictures is, of course, they'll do a systematic zoom in on it where you can tell it's like with a camera phone, and then they zoom in again and they highlight it. Now, to be honest, it looks like a cat to me. It looks like a big cat. But then there's other parts of it that make it look like it's got horns and a mustache and a little nose. It's a very disturbing thing to look at. If you'd have shown this to somebody, it looks like a demonic schnauzer with horns. So yeah, that's a good description. To go check this out.
Do you think that's what that thing though, where your like brain is trying to make sense of it? So it's seeing, it's making a formulation of that's a face and a horns and stuff, but it's really just like, that's a raccoon drinking or something.
I mean
I'm not going to say it's not an odd looking photo. It is.
It's a very odd looking photo.
I've taken photos and seen something and I'm like, well, that looks weird, but I know it's nothing paranormal.
Yeah. But also too, you have to think about in the moment.
Yeah, sure.
If you've lived on a houseboat and you lived in that area, I would think you would know what a raccoon drinking would look like.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? And they said that they got binoculars. Well, that's not very far. That photograph first taken with that cell phone isn't that far away.
No,
to be able to get it, because they didn't blow it up. You know, it gets grainy when you zoom in, you know, and where it pixelates. It's regular taken. So it just really...
And it has eye shine. So do trolls have eye shine?
Apparently off the water they do.
I thought trolls are more like humans.
What do I know? I'm just built like one. That's all I really know.
That's funny. Check this out. We got one more I'm going to do real here.
Yeah.
From a listener. It says, hi, my name is B, and I would prefer if you did not use my real name.
What up?
This is about my incident with Bigfoot. This takes place where I live in the state of Pennsylvania, where it is heavily forested in most of the state. It also has great hunting grounds, with there being white-tailed deer, black bear, turkey, pheasant, foxes, coyotes, along with all types of small vermin. My stepfather has a family cabin about an hour away from Scranton, where they filmed The Office. It is in the middle of the woods. There's a trailer from the 80s, with the fake wood paneling and shag carpet, along with a newer barn for the tractors, mowers, and ATVs. An old cabin in the woods back behind the barns on a hill, but the trailer is right next to the dirt road. Now behind the trailer is about a soccer pitch-sized piece of land where it is flat and grassy, where we have a fire pit, a burn barrel, and a couple of trees. In the back of this clearing, we have a burn barrel where we put the trash in to burn. It also gets very marshy back there, and sometimes there's a small pond when it rains. Now, after I've told you all this, I hope you have somewhat of an idea of how it is all set up. This happened a couple of years ago before I was listening to your show. I am now a teenager. I suffer from paranoia, so when I'm in the woods, I always think I'm seeing things. Well, one night, I was up there with my mom and stepdad, and it was around 9 p.m., and I was told to go put the trash in the burn barrel. So, I put my shoes on, I grabbed my flashlight, and I started walking back to the barrel. When I got to there to put the trash bag in the barrel, I glanced up at the woods right in front of me, and I saw nothing. There were two bright circles that were reflecting from lights from the flashlight that I had pointing on the ground, but high enough for me to see the reflection. I froze instantly, thinking that, oh Lord, it's a bear. If I was listening to your guys' podcast at the time, I probably would have broken down thinking it was a dog man. I was able to bring my flashlight up, and that's when I saw it. It was about 15 feet back and right behind an old little wooden trailer to haul things. It was about 3 or 4 feet or 4 times taller than that. The trailer is about 2.5 feet tall. It was covered in dark brown and long hair, except for its face, and it smelled awful. When I saw it, I suddenly was not scared but curious, and I felt that it was just as curious as I was. We stared at what felt like 5 minutes until it walked away. I walked back thinking about what just happened. I didn't tell my parents, thinking they would be thinking that I was lying or my imagination had gotten the best of me, but I know what I saw. Anytime I go back up there, I hope to see it again, but I haven't. Anyways, thank you for taking the time to read this, B. Well, thanks, B. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you saw, whether it was a troll or was it a Bigfoot. I don't know, but very spooky. Thanks for sharing. I don't know what you saw, man, but, you know, I don't think it was a person. Why would a person just walk up and just stare at you?
Yeah.
With, like, an outfit on, especially in Pennsylvania. I mean, there's a lot. That's a good way to get shot.
That's the best way to get shotgunned is what that is.
Right? Yeah. Very cool story. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some more Shadow Man sightings. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Have you ever been reading or watching TV when suddenly, in the periphery of your vision, you catch a glimpse of what appears to be a shadowy figure in the room with you? Dark, shadowy, humanoid figures like these are commonly known as shadow people, and they can be extremely scary and unsettling to the people who experience seeing them. But defining exactly what shadow people are and if they're actually paranormal is up for debate. Descriptions of shadowy human-like figures have appeared in folklore and religious texts throughout history in many cultures. Some examples include the supernatural creatures known as the jinn of ancient Islamic theology, and these shadowy beings known as the Nalusa Chito of the Native American Choctaw tribes mythology. The modern used term shadow people was apparently coined by paranormal researcher and book author Heidi Hollis, who claims that shadow people have been around since the beginning of time and usually appear as dark, human-shaped silhouettes in our peripheral vision. The fear of the dark and all of its shadows is a common one, probably because our eyes tend to play tricks on us when the lights are very low. a jacket hanging on the door can easily morph into a silhouette, and a pile of blankets could suddenly look like someone lurking in your bed. But could shadow people be more than that? They are often thought of as ghosts or a collection of negative energy. But as is true with most paranormal phenomenon, there is no finite answer. Shadow people can appear in different forms and may even indicate that someone is under a psychic attack. Many paranormal experts also theorize that there may be a connection between shadow people and extraterrestrial life, and that these beings could be otherworldly in origin and have a correlation with the alleged alien abduction experience. While the exact supernatural origin of these shadow-like beings is debated among paranormal experts, there is one thing that most agree upon, which is that the presence of shadow people is wholly unsettling. Arthur and his wife bought a new house. After months of separation, with Art living in Minnesota while his wife was working in southern Wisconsin, and a month of living with their in-laws while after their house in Minnesota was sold, a new home of their own was finally in their grasp. They had to wait a month to close on the deal, and one Tuesday afternoon in late May, they finally signed the papers. They were handed the keys and went to see their new place. For the first time, Art actually got to see the house in something other than pictures. He had been stuck in Minnesota while Margaret worked in Madison for nearly 6 months. He had found the house online. He liked the photographs, and Maggie went to see it on her own. She dealt with the realtor and made the deal. Knowing that the couple was pretty limited in terms of a budget, of all the houses she looked at in their price range, it was by far the nicest. But it still needed some help. When Art walked into the first time, the home, on that fine day in May, on an afternoon, all he saw was work that needed to be done. The walls were horrible blue in color, painted with a semi-gloss paint. The carpets and trim all needed to be replaced. The bedrooms needed ceiling paint and new wall paint desperately. The couple was scheduled to move in Saturday that week. They had rented a truck and lined up family and friends to expedite the process. Their belongings had been in storage for over a month. It was time. However, Art did not feel comfortable moving his wife and young daughter into a home that looked so shoddy and worn down. But with nothing else to do but to fix the problem, Art quickly made plans to spend Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday busting his hump to get the house ready. A quick trip to the paint store for supplies, a phone call to waste management to produce a dumpster for a week, and a helpful mother-in-law offering to watch their kid for the next 3 days, and Art was all set to go. The next morning, he left his in-laws home in the pre-dawn to drive the 90 minutes to his new home. For 3 straight days, Art worked 18 hours a day. He sanded the walls, he washed them, he painted them. He tore up old, smelly carpets stained with years of dog urine. He replaced outlets that had not been changed in 50 years. He made sure that as much of the house as he could fix in 3 days was fixed and ready for his toddler to move into. Until late Friday night, he drove back to his in-laws' home for the last time. The next night, he would be back in his own bed in his own home. The roads he had to take to his in-laws' place were largely unfamiliar to Art. He usually took the interstate and then another, larger highway. But because the road was under major construction, he was forced to detour down some smaller county highways for the majority of the trip. It was not an unpleasant drive, just kind of inconvenient. The small back roads wound and twisted a bit, whereas the interstate was flat and straight slab. These country roads had 45 or 55 mile per hour speed limits, while the interstate had a very welcome 70. The detour added another 15 or 20 minutes onto his normal drive, and it took much more out of him physically and mentally because in the countryside of Wisconsin, one has to be very aware of the potential for deer to dart out of the trees and tall grasses on the side of the road. After 3 long days filled with hard labor and 3 hours and change spent driving, Art was mentally and physically wiped out. He drove the country roads, fighting exhaustion, eyelids heavy. There was no moon that night. The stars were expansive overhead, but the only light came from the halogen headlights on the front of his Chevy. He drove the pickup truck around a tight bend and down a little hill, and the shock of seeing a figure in the middle of the road made him stomp the brake pedal. He went from dead tired to wide awake in an instant. The truck shrieked to a stop, tires squealing. Standing in the middle of the right-hand lane was the unmistakable shape of a human form. But it looked like it was cut out of the night itself. There was a head, shoulders, arms, and legs. It looked like a man, just a bit under 6 foot tall. But there were no definable features to it. The face was just darkness. The body had no clothes Art could recognize, only a deep, dark shadow. The figure was less than 15 feet from Art's headlights. There was no reason he should be seeing what he was seeing, but there it was, a human shape, lit up by the headlights of his truck, and it was as black as a starless night sky. The figure stood in front of the truck for several beats. Art could not blink. He knew what he was seeing, but at the same time, there was no logical explanation for what he was seeing. After a moment, the shadow person turned sideways and walked off the road. As soon as it got out of the illumination of the headlights, it seemed to dissolve into the night. Art's heart was pounding. He wanted to get out of his truck and go see where it went, but his body, it wouldn't let him do it. A cold sweat broke out on his forehead. A full body shudder rippled through him. After a moment, he could move again. He stomped on the gas pedal and tried to put as many miles as he could between the shadow person and himself. As he drove, he tried to convince himself that he didn't see what he saw. Exhaustion, he told himself. I'm so tired. I must have hallucinated. He made it to the in-laws' house and tried to go to sleep, but he got very little rest that night. On the guest bed in the dark basement of his in-laws' house, he could not help but expect one of the shadows in the corner of the room to start moving. The next morning, Art and his wife climbed into his truck to go pick up the U-Haul truck. On the way to their new town, where the truck was waiting, Art could not shake the unexpected event of the previous night from his head. As they neared the stretch of road where it happened, Art told his wife about the story. He tried to laugh it off, tried to use logic to explain it away as a hallucination brought on by too much work and not enough sleep. He said it happened right up here. Art pointed to the stretch of road ahead. Sure enough, there were fresh black marks on the road where Art had slammed on his brakes. That part had not been a hallucination. Art realized he had never seen that particular stretch of road in daylight either. The past 3 days, he always passed that spot before sunrise, and he returned when it was almost midnight. There in the light of the morning, Art could see exactly where he was. 100 yards off the road was an old church, a small rectangular building with a 3-story spire on one end, topped with a bell cupola. The church looked as it was still used every Sunday, but it had clearly seen better days. The small parking lot in front of it was gravel, not asphalt. A few old trees dotted the land around the church, each waiting to gain its buds for spring. Art only glanced at the church, though. His eyes were drawn to the expansive cemetery that was right next to it. The shadow person, when it left the road, had walked down into the scattering of tombstones just off of the road. Art swallowed hard. His wife's eyes were wide. They said nothing for a while. Art finally tried to wave it off. I was exhausted, he told his wife. It's probably nothing. He never forgot that moment, though. the clarity of the shadow person in the road was forever burned in his brain. Every prolonged second of that encounter with what he believes was something supernatural was etched into his memory with high definition. Even now, more than 10 years since it happened, Art's story has not changed one iota. He said, "I don't know precisely what I saw, but I know that I saw it." Very interesting. It's so similar to so many other sightings. In this story in particular, it sounds like it was a ghost. But the crazy thing is when you think of a ghost from, like, I don't know, it's Casper, the Friendly Ghost, or movies, the ghosts are always seen as like a glowing, like white almost color. This is the inverse of that. It's deep, dark black, like Venta black, like soul sucking black, that it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It didn't appear to attack him or do anything. It just merely crossed the road. So this is one of the shadow being stories where you kind of capture it moving wherever it's going, or there's other ones where it seems to be, you know, clearly messing with people. Check this one out. It says, "I've been pondering about writing this and have exhausted avenues trying to find correlating stories to match mine. So hopefully someone may have had a similar experience. I'm 32, a mom of three boys. I'm from the UK, specifically England, and moved from Birmingham City to a small country village. When we moved, I had no stress or wasn't upset and was quite liking to the relaxing and dead quiet culture in this new spot. 3 weeks into moving, I dropped my two eldest off to school and came back home with my one-year-old due to him having a broken night's sleep. We snuggled in bed and drifted off. Moments later, I heard what sounded like my front door opening, and I woke up startled. I stared at the ceiling, waiting for more noise before I would react. It sounded like someone was literally power running up the stairs, and then it felt like someone was standing in the door frame, staring down at me. As I looked to my peripheral vision, I could make out the shadow silhouette of what I have come to know now as the Shadow Man with a top hat. Everything, I mean everything, went dead quiet, like I had somehow paused time. I slowly pulled the quilt up over my face and rooted around with my hand to find my phone, which felt like I was going in slow motion. I couldn't see my youngest son, fast asleep under the quilt with me, and then a bright light shine over the quilt like the sun through curtains, and it felt like someone had clicked their fingers and the dread feeling and noise snapped away. I slowly looked up at the door, and no one was there, and I walked around the house and checked the door, but nothing was out of place. Over the next 6 to 12 months, strange things started to happen. My partner needed a haircut, and we could not locate the clippers for 3 months and bought new ones after we'd given up looking. Then they appeared in the garage on a table, the very place we walked past millions of times. Then our boiler kept being turned down. It was also in the garage. I questioned the kids, and in all fairness, it's not a room they had ready access to, and they would have needed a chair to reach the bar to physically turn the pressure down. This happened a lot. So I had the boiler man come out, and he said all was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. My partner sat eating his dinner, and the dining room door handle physically pushed down, and the door opened like someone had just walked in mid-argument with our eldest. The scariest thing that happened, I've looked into similar accounts from other people, and to this day that haunts me, was a night when we had all gone to bed and my partner had fallen asleep. I turned on my side in the dark to get comfy, and I heard what I can only describe as someone in shiny jogging bottoms literally bolting it around my partner's side of the bed. It was a fast whooshing sound, and I practically braced myself as if one of my kids was about to jump on the bed with me, which they've never done, and it was close to midnight when this all happened, and I never heard the door open. As I slowly pulled up my duvet, I was looking all around the room but could not see anything, and I was too scared of what I might see, to be honest. I rationalized that it was just me being silly, and maybe I was tired, when all of a sudden my bed was pushed from my side to the other side of the room and back 4 times. Powerfully. And I mean powerfully. This was not some little tremor feeling. This was full throttle, pushing and pulling. I jumped up and screamed, and my partner started leaping up too. And then it all just stopped. We sat for half an hour with the light on, discussing what had happened, how it had happened, and how impossible it would have been to do what just happened. We have had a solid built, bed, an extremely thick Tempur-Pedic kind of mattress, and the floor was carpeted. Not to mention our body weights were also on the bed. We were spooking ourselves out and checked in on our boys, and everything was fine. I told my partner that I would not be going to sleep without the light on, and he turned over and fell asleep. Moments later, something banged from the other side of the wall above my headboard, as if running past and punching the wall heavily a few times. It felt like it was taunting us. I screamed again, and my partner said he hadn't heard anything, as he'd fallen asleep. It took several hours and the light on, but I did manage to fall asleep till the morning. That was it, literally. I stayed there for another 2 years, and nothing happened after that in any way. We've since moved, but I often wonder why something would do this, and if anyone else has had a similar thing happen to them. I've Googled bed moving and the shadow man, but it doesn't quite fit with my experiences. It sounds silly, but I felt it was a mental attack on us. But from whom or what, I don't know. Since this experience, I've never had anything like this happen to me again, and I still remember the force of the bed moving. Thank you. GG. Cool. I mean, cool in a spooky way. Definitely not cool if you have to experience something like that. I mean, I know what they're saying. We have a Tempur-Pedic bed, me and my wife, and it's very heavy. Anybody who has one of those beds out there like that, whether it's a Casper bed or Purple, or there's millions of them, but they're pretty heavy. And also the two adults were laying in the bed. So how the heck did the bed move 4 feet or so either direction 4 times? I don't know. I wouldn't be able to just roll over and go, I'm going back to bed. I'd be like, I'm out. That's it. We're moving. Put the thing on the market. Check this out. During 2016, me being about 9 or 10 and my younger brother being a couple of years younger, decided to stay the night at a friend's. We had been over there countless of times and nothing like this had ever happened. They lived in a fairly old house, but the previous owners had never said anything about any paranormal activity. I've always been interested in ghosts and that, but I'd never expected this to quite happen. On this one night, most of their family had gone away, and we were left with their dad. We had woken up during the late night, as my brother had needed to use the toilet. As young kids, we decided to all go together. They had this garage connected to the house that had been turned into a bedroom, and that's where we were sleeping. The sliding door on the side would lead us inside and straight into the kitchen and lounge room. We made our way through the kitchen that would get us to the hallway, and the first room on the left was the bathroom that we needed. Standing in the pitch black hallway was a very dark, tall man that just stood there. Being young kids, we quickly ran back to our room. Still to this day, we have no idea what or who it could have been. We were the only ones awake, and no way was our friend's dad that tall. Since then, I've heard many stories of the Shadow Man, which could explain it. But if anyone has any ideas, please let me know. Crystal. Yeah, I think you had a run-in with the Shadow Man. Check this one out. I would like to start off by stating that this is 100% true, even though I know it sounds out there and crazy. This happened to me during the summer months between 6th and 7th grade and is stained into my memory as if it happened yesterday. Since this has happened, almost all paranormal happenings in my house have ceased and nothing crazy happens anymore. If you don't want to read the layout of my house and a brief overview of what happened in our house, skip to the big bold story.
Now, before I begin, we moved into our current house almost 12 years ago. At the time, I was 8, and my sister and I had a strange feeling about being watched our very first time in the house. I don't know how to describe it. We just felt like we were being watched. Now, prior to this happening, we have had many experiences ranging from silhouettes, doors opening and closing by themselves, hearing people talk, ask questions, seeing apparitions and photos of the house, random things magically falling off shelves, our dogs staring at the walls and growling at nothing, all the way to people walking around the house in the middle of the night when everyone was asleep. So, the layout of my house. It's a cookie-cutter house where I live, as if not almost all the houses on my street are exactly the same. You walk into my house and you stand on our foyer. 7 steps up and 7 steps down. Downstairs, as soon as you get to the bottom of the stairs, to your right is the garage. To your left is maybe 6 to 7 foot of space that has a stairwell closet on the left side. On the right side is the laundry room. At the end is the downstairs living room. Up the stairs, you're met with a hallway leading to the bedrooms. On the right side, the kitchen in front, paired with a dining room now. It wasn't back then, and the upstairs living room are on the right. This happened one night, somewhere in the summer months between 6th and 7th grade. I was sitting in the middle of the living room reading. Well, looking at pictures, actually. A book that was about Mars and its features. I know, I was a nerd. So it was sometime in the middle of the night, and I never really spent time in the living room, so I decided to be there until I was done reading this book. Well, as I was looking through it, I heard something run up the stairs. Now, at the time, we only had one dog, Coco, who is no longer with us. However, at night, she always either slept with my parents or my sister, and she really didn't favor me all that well. The thing that ran up the stairs, it kind of sounded like a dog. It only ran up the first 7 stairs, though. So I don't understand why it stopped at the foyer. I decided to play it off, as the stairs are hardwood, and they creak all the time due to temperature fluctuations. So, I went back to my book. A very few short moments later, I heard something walk up the first 7 stairs. At this time, I was on edge. Something definitely walked up the stairs, and it wasn't fast either. So, a little scared, I went back to my book and tried to forget about it, too scared to get up and run into my room. A few seconds later, I hear it start walking up the second flight of 7 stairs. That's when every bit of hair on my body stood up, and I became glued and still as I can on the couch. I remember watching this thing walk up and slowly come into view until it reached the top of the stairs. When it did, that is when it stopped and just stood there, staring into the kitchen. Its appearance, something I will never forget. It slowly turned towards me and stared straight into my eyes. This thing was just about 6 foot tall. Its body was rather masculine, but the whole thing was a black, opaque color. Its eyes, they had to be the worst part. They were blood red, and it felt like it was staring straight into my very being. I was petrified, sitting on the couch, staring at such a thing. I began to cry, as I wanted to scream for somebody, but my body refused to do anything. Then, all of a sudden, it pointed down and disappeared into the floor. Kind of like how fog machine smoke just rolls onto the ground. That's what happened. For some unknown reason, instead of running away, I felt compelled to go downstairs. I don't know why my body decided to stay silent and why it was feeling this way, but I got up and proceeded to walk to the stairs. Staring down, I remember the insane feeling of dread coming over me. I then slowly began to walk down. As I got to the foyer, I remember feeling a cold spot in the front of the second flight of stairs, and then it just went away. Once it did, I walked down the second flight, all the while bawling my eyes out. I couldn't help feel that there was something behind the door that led to the downstairs living room. The presence there felt heavy, and I wanted to open the door to see what lied on the other side, so that's exactly what I did. When I opened the door, I was met with an extremely heavy pressure in the air. I remember thinking to myself to run away, but instead my body kept doing things on its own. Pitch black downstairs, except the illumination of a street lamp through the windows. I could see not just the thing I just saw, but three more. If I recall correctly, there were three male-looking ones. One of them turned around and said something to me in a language I still don't know today. It then held out its hand as if it wanted me to come to it. That is when I finally looked down on the ground and saw this swirling, opaque, black smoke ball-looking thing. The only way I can describe it is that it looked like a portal, but was more like an orb. At this time, I'm not sure what came over me, but I decided to turn, slam the door, and run upstairs screaming at the top of my lungs with tears flowing down my face. This is when my parents came barreling out of the room, and I ran straight in there. I explained everything up to going down there, as I didn't want them to be in any danger, or at least that's what I thought. Soon after this, we found a journal that my dad's mom or his sister used to have that had a pentagram on it. My parents never let me see what was in it, but I do remember hearing them talk about how it was not able to be burnt, and they tried to figure out what to do with it. Soon after they got rid of it, almost all of the paranormal things stopped cold turkey. Sometimes I miss the excitement and the adrenaline it gave me, but I will never, ever want to experience this one happening ever again.
Back with Expanded Perspectives.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Hope you like some of those stories. I know they don't help explain anything. I can't explain anything. Nobody really knows what these are. Are these demons? These are djinn? Are they something else? Are they extraterrestrial? Are they soul vampires? I don't know. But I know since we started the show, I've heard more and more people talk about shadow beings than probably anything else when it comes to their personal sightings. Now, some people, they think it's not necessarily sleep paralysis, but something when they're mm-hmm. sleeping that's causing them to see these things. Or even when you're not asleep, but like when you're just tired and groggy. I know that there are people that have seen stuff out of like the corner of their eyes, but they never quite see it.
Yeah.
But then there's other people that are the things like leaning over them, over their bed, staring at them for 10 minutes. And they've had this thing following them since they were 5 years old. I mean, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah,
but they're terrifying. And I still don't understand the Hat Man sightings. Like, why the hat? And why that hat? Why a fedora? You never see one dressed in something else, like a bowler's hat.
Or a cowboy hat.
You never see one dressed with like a Little Rascals hat. No, it's always the fedora. Why always male? Why are there no shadow women? Never hear that.
That is a good point.
They're always male.
We got to try to find some shadow woman stories.
I'd love to hear it.
I've heard a few, and we've talked about a few of like, but they're not near as many.
Not as prevalent.
It's more menacing for it to be. Man, you don't, it's like a shadow man.
I don't know.
That's
very
weird.
Bizarre. Why do so many people from all over different parts of the globe all see the same thing? I don't know why.
That is the most interesting thing.
I think so.
It is, because it's not like your mind jumping. Everybody's mind goes right to a fedora wearing shadow man.
Yeah, why?
Like, no, it doesn't. It's like, that's what they saw.
And somebody that's in Argentina will have almost the spot-on description as somebody from Poland.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is that? Unless there are these things, these same things that are visiting people. And that's what the reason they sound similar is because that's what people are seeing.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It has
terrifying.
To be. Yeah. I hope to never see one.
Speaking of hope to never see one, So the other day, I did a little old segment about the Kandahar Giant. Right?
That's right.
And then I did the update about it, right, where we've talked about there was another sighting where people had seen them getting brought in. We had no idea. Well, get a load of what we got sent to us. Listener, a good buddy, Rex, says, "Hey, guys, I stumbled across your YouTube channel while checking out bear stories on my lunch break. I'm an avid hunter and fly fisherman, so your content is right up my alley. Now to the good stuff. I've never had an encounter with Bigfoot or can even say I would like to have one here in the States. But I did have a very strange and unusual story of something we saw in Afghanistan. In 2009, I was part of a small unit heading into the southernmost part of Helmand Province in Afghanistan. Our primary mission was to curtail the flow of weapons coming across the border from Pakistan. To accomplish this mission, we had some DEA guys with us as we were attempting to slow the heroin flow from Afghanistan into Pakistan. The Taliban would use the profits from the heroin sales to purchase millions of dollars of munitions in Pakistan to fight the coalition in Afghanistan and so forth. And he says, and you get the point. Now listen to this. He says, anyway, we were on day 7 of a patrol outside the wire looking for some bad guys in an area near the Helmand River. There are lots of caves in that area and ruins back date forever. So just an incredibly, extremely wild place. One August evening, a buddy and myself were on watch, just BSing, talking about what our first meal will be when we get back to the States. I look up the side of a cliff face and see movement coming from my left to my right downhill towards the river basin. I pull up my rifle and look through my ACOG and see a red-haired, large figure headed down towards a group of goats. By this time, my buddy also has his rifle shouldered and is seeing the same thing I'm seeing. It was the color of an orangutan, but was moving on two legs extremely quickly. It probably covered 100 meters in around 9 to 10 seconds, and we're talking across some pretty rough country. It was also larger than a man, though I really couldn't tell you how large. It seemed as if the goats were aware of its presence, but did not make any attempt to move away. They all just stood there in silence, staring at the thing coming down the embankment. When he reached the goats, he reached down with one arm and pulled one up by its front legs and threw it over his shoulder, then moved to another goat, picked that one up, threw it over the other shoulder. He then turned and started back up the cliffside with both goats in tow and seemed to be moving just as quickly as he was when he came down. The extra weight of the 50-pound goats on each shoulder did not seem to hinder him in the least. We watched him until he reached an area of known caves and disappeared. This all happened about 500 yards from our position. My buddy and I both looked at each other, and you could tell we were thinking the same thing. What the hell was that? At the end of the deployment, I went in and talked to one of the environmental health guys and told him the story. Those guys are supposed to be the experts on all the critters and such that you may encounter when you're in country, but he seemed to not have an answer for me. Anyway, to this day, I still have no idea what that thing was. It certainly was not a man. Thanks. Stay safe out there. Rex.
Wow.
Brother man, holy moly.
So he's not saying it was a giant.
No.
But it definitely wasn't a man. And it picked two goats up and scurried back from whence it came in a rapid movement.
From whence it came.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're looking there,
what color was it? It looked like
an orangutan.
That's exactly.
If you're looking through an ACOG scope and you're seeing all this, I mean, what are you thinking?
A little pee comes out at first.
I'm sure.
All you can think about is, man, I'm glad he sees those goats.
Dude likes cabrito.
Here's what you got to think. How many times did that thing come down on your six, maybe, and just stared at you before it made its way back off, right?
Mm-mm.
What is it? And it's a cave system. Look,
you've talked about
no primates in that area, man. There ain't no primates because the trees aren't real tall, first of all. But it's rough, craggy, just hard country in that whole area. That whole part of the world is rough.
Yeah, the trees are like pine trees, like New Mexico. So it looks like
salt cedars and just scrub brush and holes and caves and ravines that the only way you can get to is to walk down in
and
there.
I like your story. I liked your episode about the cave systems and stuff. I think maybe there could be some kind of humanoid things living in caves.
There may be something going on. Yeah.
Because
I got more cave stories too.
You know, that part of the world, like, you know, there's certain parts of it that are very advanced, but then there's some parts of it. It's like 5,000 BC there. Yeah. Only difference is they got cell phones and AK-47s.
Right. Well, that's true.
But other than that, it's like the same.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. And I like those stories.
It's one of those things that people that don't live in the mountains or have spent time in the mountains or skiing and traveling or and I'm sure, especially in war, any kind of travel, you realize that how just impassable mountains truly are. Like, that was where the dividing line was for the longest time before you had the gear, the food, the water.
Oh, yeah, just scurrying around in elevation's tough.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
On your lungs.
So, like I said, there's places in there that, first of all, like you talked about, it's so still so remote and so old in the way it lives that there's no telling what's in there because we can't go. You're not just going to go traipsing around Afghanistan just doing a little research and recon just for the heck of
They'll cut your head off on YouTube.
Yeah, because there's other things in there, right? There's other stuff in there that they're trying to keep hidden. So why not let a monster live its life over there? Because, well, that's just one other way to keep something out.
Yeah, that's
the friend of my or the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So you got a bunch of red haired giants running around out there.
Maybe the people know that they take the goats and it's just that's part of the deal.
That's part of the payment.
Like, you just let them take the goats. Like, we don't want any static.
And I think that. Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look the other way.
I mean, I'm not fighting a giant orangutan that can move up the mountains really fast.
With two goats, one over each shoulder.
No. No, not doing that. Crazy story. Thank you for sending it in, Rex. And yeah, they heard us over on YouTube. Don't forget, folks, we have a YouTube channel.
Facts.
We're trying to grow that. If I know you listen on whatever podcatcher you're listening to, but in your spare time on a lunch break or something, go over to YouTube, sub on the channel. It helps us out tremendously. And that's about all the time we have for this episode. Cam, what do you got planned?
Oh, I've got all kinds of wild stuff. But the first wild thing I want to say listen.
Shout out time, folks.
Y'all send us all kinds of good stuff, right? Y'all, we get letters and they send us posters and pictures and you don't know how much we appreciate it. We appreciate everything that you send. It is
death
amazing.
Whistles.
Death whistles. Yeah, we get all kinds of stuff, right? We got a gift that I'm not so sure that we deserve. Well, I can guarantee you that we don't deserve the gift that we just were sent, but it really means a lot to us. Folks, I'm going to kill his name. There's no way.
Apologies, please.
I'm going to apologize in advance for this whole thing because he's probably laughing at me right now. So let me see if I can get this. Atsatsa. Oh, man. I just call him Big Knife. It's Big Knife Antonio. Big Knife is a Navajo knife maker, folks, and he sent Kyle and I two handmade knives. And out of my entire existence of hunting and fishing and being in the outdoors, I have never owned a truly handmade knife.
I haven't either.
Never owned one. I've had tons of them, right? And had good ones, but I've never had one that was a man labored over like this.
Hand forged it just for you.
Yeah. I've never owned such. And so if you want to see what we're talking about, you need to go to Red Crow with a K, Red, K-R-O-W, redcrow.com. Look at his work. He was on Forged in Fire. He's done a bunch of stuff. He's been on the History Channel, some other stuff. This dude makes some really, really interesting and amazing stuff. And he sent it to us. So
I think it's awesome. I love it.
Dude, I can't.
I've been bragging. I've been showing everybody. Like, my brother-in-law came over last weekend.
Yeah, I was showing him.
Yeah, of course I'm showing it off. I can't wait to put it to use in field. Take some good photos with it.
Oh, well, I can tell you straight up. I was thinking about that. Whenever I got it, I was like, okay, I can name three states this is going to be in this season already. So get ready. We're going to have some good photos with it. But anyway, we just wanted to tell him, thank you so very much. You have no idea what it means to us. I mean, I can't express what it means to us. Just like I can't express what y'all mean to us. I mean, literally, y'all send us the most fun stuff. I get the best memes, the best messages, stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a family. As crazy as it is, everybody's in the same team And it's just so much fun.
And if we don't always get back to you, reply.
We're going to try.
Yeah, don't take it personally. We get so many. But yes, we appreciate it. Very, very cool. We appreciate the gifts. We appreciate the stories you send in. Like today, if you have a story you want to share with us and the rest of the listeners, email us, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline, 888-393-2783. And you can follow us on social media and all that stuff. Also, if you really want to help us out, I already mentioned the YouTube channel, but don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. If you're a big fan of this show, you're missing out because this is only some of what we do. We have other shows on Elite. Signing up is $5 a month. And I think there's over 240 episodes, our entire back catalog, that's there for you to listen to. It's just like this. They're about an hour long. If you like the show, you're going to like that show. Only difference is there's no ads on that one. Stuff like that. In fact, Cam's most recent episode, you talked about tunnel rats in Vietnam and some crazy things they saw down there. So go over there, expandedperspectives.com. You can click on the Elite tab or you can just go to expandedperspectives.com/elite and it's $5. Before we get out of here, let's not forget about our gracious sponsors. Trade, get $20 off your first three bags when you go to drinktrade.com/expanded and start your journey to the perfect cup. And Felix Gray, free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges for non-prescription, prescription, or even readers. Just go to felixgrayglasses.com/expanded. Cam, anything else before we get out of here?
No, I'm just head down, just working right along. That's all I've got going on, man. Nothing fun. Painting miniatures.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's
it, ready
folks.
For D&D. You ready for some Dungeons and Dragons?
I think so, because last week I didn't do too good. I threw all my dice away. Then I went to the tablet, and I really didn't do any good on that either. But you remember, you saw me, I looked defeated, right?
He legitly went through, he's got his favorite dice, and then he has a bag of like a big, Kyle's a big spender, so he has a big 1 gallon sandwich bag with dice in it, right? That's how he carries his custom stuff in a sandwich bag. So he puts, he gets one set of dice, he's done, he gets mad, and he makes some hateful comments and gets rid of them, and this continues over the frequency of like 30 minutes until finally I just see him throw it in a pile and then he just starts going digital and he's like, I've had it. I can't deal with it anymore. And not 3 minutes into digital, he's still mad. He's like, the whole world hates me.
I rolled two nat ones back to back.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the
anything
odds
that frustrates him? I love it. So
right.
Well, that's that.
I hope everybody out there has a better week than I had last time. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.